Welcome to the PMPA's Speaking of Precision podcast, featuring your hosts, Carly Kistler-Miller, David Wynn, and Miles Free.
Hi, I'm Carly Kistler-Miller, and welcome to PMPA's Speaking of Precision podcast. Miles Free and David Wynn have joined me today, and we are going to discuss succession planning. Welcome, Miles. Welcome, David.
Actually, it's succession in process, Carly. We blew past that planning mile marker a long time ago.
That's true.
Carly did that. She's the get stuff done lady. So she's like, ah, no, forget the planning. We're getting this done.
There is a point where the planning needs to end and the doing needs to begin. That is true.
There you go.
I have a tendency to jump on that point. So you're right. So we need to retitle this transitions or succession planning at work. I don't know. We will figure it out. But listeners, what we're talking about is our dear, wise Miles Free has finally gotten to the point where retirement is in sight. And so as we call him the purple squirrel, because it's not going to be easy to find somebody to fill those giant shoes, we had to put a succession plan into place. And so fortunately, thank heavens, David answered a text of mine that said, I have a crazy idea. Would you call me? And within 10 minutes, he called and said, I love crazy ideas. And so begins the transition. So currently, as it stands, Miles is in charge of regulatory, yes?
Regulatory.
And safety and
government affairs. Statistics.
The numbers stuff, yes. Our business trends report, et cetera.
Right.
And Dave is our director of technical services. So he's slowly transitioning into what I used to call Miles the shell answer man. Helping people on the listservs, taking calls for members. I mean, obviously, we have the expertise of both people, and we're going to totally take advantage of that and squeeze every little knowledge out of Miles that we can before he puts
us... She's squeezing the life out of you, Miles.
the content.
Getting all the content out before he
she's going to wring you out before she hangs you out to dry.
I think that's the idea behind a fusion bomb, right? You just squeeze it until the neutrons self-ignite.
I prefer to think of it as knowledge transfer, but okay. Yeah. We can go with that too. Although, and I am putting this on record, I am putting this out there on the recording, Miles, I don't think you're ever going to be 100% away from PMPA. I have a feeling you might be writing a thing or two. You might be podcast.
I hope to add value as I can add value.
And we'll take it for as long as we can get it.
I sure hope so.
But it occurred to me that, you know, we talk about transitions and change management and change leadership and everything. And here we have a case study happening right now at PMPA. So I wanted to ask you both, well, first, Miles, you know, how did you come to this decision? And what were you thinking when, or, you know, maybe the decision was external and you're being told you need to retire.
So, you know, out of fairness to reality, I've been here 20 years.
Yes.
I continue to add value. I like adding value. But the government, you know, if there's always a bad guy in a story, and my favorite bad guy to point at is the government. The government made me do it. So next year, I will have to take my required minimum distributions from all the savings that I've put away over my entire lifetime in IRAs and 401ks and everything. And the tax consequences were like very compelling. Why are you going to work to pay Uncle Sam all you may.
Wow. That is compelling.
It was compelling. So
yes.
At that point, it was like, okay, we now know the date where we need to make some adjustments. So now, how do we make those adjustments and preserve the utility for the members? Because I love our members. Everything I do is for our, it's about our members. And don't want them, I hope to be missed, but I don't want them to miss what it is that we've offered. And that's why finding a qualified successor was so important.
It was. And it wasn't a quick decision either. Well, ironically, I hope I'm allowed to tell this story. So I was writing the job description, and I wrote it with David Wynn in mind. And I'm like, we need a David Wynn, we need a David Wynn. But at the time, Dave, you were working with your family's company.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept getting pushback. Oh, he's got his company, he's got his company, he's got his company. But I'm just crazy enough to ask somebody, so.
Well, you know, the other words I use all the time are highest and best use.
It's true. And I think you saw that, David, when I called and asked you, would you be interested in this position? And you were saying, you know what? It could be good for the family business as well.
Yeah, you caught me at a really good time. I had been kind of transitioning out of the family business anyways. I'd read a book called The E-Myth and was making some decisions and planning, trying to create a business that's going to grow beyond me and do what some of these larger companies have done. And so I was already in that. And then when you threw this at me, it was kind of like, hey, this lets me, you know, put the rubber to the road, put my money where my mouth is and transition out.
So once the decision was made that David was going to transition into Miles's position, Miles, how did you prepare everything that he's going to need to know? And I know we're in the middle of it still, but a lot has been done so far.
So I'm an analog guy. I'm not a CAD guy. And I have a drafting table at home. And on that drafting table, I used Post-it notes. And I put a Post-it note for every aspect of my job, my work product, my concepts, conceptual space, whatever. I filled it. I think I had 28 Post-it notes about roll of carbon, metallurgy, safety, every area, you know, customer service, how our markets work. Our markets are perfect competition. Once you understand that, it makes a lot of sense why we do what we do. But if you don't know what perfect competition is, you're just going to do stuff and not know why. So I did that, took a picture, sent the picture to Dave, and, you know, we've been checking them off. And so that was my plan. It was storyboards on a drafting table.
Yeah, he literally sent me a mind map off his that's what it is, you know. It was a stream of consciousness for Miles, and he had this whole thought-out process. And what's kind of wild about it is that we've almost kind of gone down the list as far as what he drew on those Post-it notes and threw to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's really and I'm cool. So orthodox and formal.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Compliance is your number one
strength,
quality. Not, uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it started with Post-it notes. It's actually, you actually wrote a little booklet on it.
I did. I
did
wrote
that
a book.
Come from the Post-it notes?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
There it is. What is an industry? Wait, I forget the name of it.
What is an industry technical director?
So what I thought was important was not so much the facts. I mean, we can look at that picture and all those books that you see there. Those were in a truck that David hauled from.
All right, so listeners, Miles keeps forgetting that this is not a visual medium, and what we're looking at is brand new bookcases that Dave built in his office, filled with books supplied by Miles.
Right, accumulated over. But it's not about that explicit knowledge. It's about what are the cultural norms. What are the attitudes? What are the approaches? And that's what I tried to put in that little booklet.
So, and you were also explaining who our customer was and what they expect.
Absolutely.
From us as well. Because expectations
Absolutely.
is a big piece of this.
It's one thing to have been a customer, but it's another thing to now have roles reversed and serve that customer.
Ooh, Perfect segue. So, yeah, Dave, you were a member, and now you're on the staff side. So how does that play out?
It's a whole different environment. You know, meetings are more work than they used to be.
Yeah, but you get paid to be there versus paying to be there.
This
so,
is
you know.
True. Yeah, but yeah, we were member company for about 10 years before I came in to PMPA as a staffer. And so it's a change in dynamic a little bit, but it's cool for me because all those relationships and everything that I've built up over those 10 years, it still goes to this day. You know, that it's just a different dynamic between me and them now, but I have all these different connections and relationships that I've built. And it's like Miles said, I know how to serve these people because I've been one of them.
Right. You have a really powerful perspective on knowing what the members are. So this little story just popped into my head. So we pride ourselves on concierge service here at PMPA and taking care of our members. And so Dave came on, and I think it was in the first month, and he didn't read an email. And I said, Dave, you aren't a member anymore. I'm not coddling you. You got to read your emails.
Yeah.
No more excuses.
Yeah.
I missed the coddling days.
So what was another piece of, like, how are you're going through your Post-it notes. You gave him some background into customer service and PMPA and our members. Then this transfer of knowledge, because Miles, you're a metallurgist. Dave, you're a machinist. So what are you trying to bring Dave into?
So what we're trying to do is identify the common, there's an overlap. It's a Venn diagram between the metallurgy that I know and the machining that I know and the machining that he knows and the experience he's had with materials. So one of the things that was, I think, really, really, you know, game-winning in our approach to bringing David along was getting him on the bus at our mastery program.
Yes.
And he was able to get into different cold finishers and see through my eyes with what I could point out, what this process, what's really going on. I know what you see, but here's what's happening at a structural level, at a grain level, with forces and everything. So I think that was really important. And then we did have a plan to look at the fundamentals, because it's only tribal knowledge if the tribe owns it. It's my knowledge if I own it.
Good point.
And so it's been really, we collaborate whenever I answer a technical email, because we still get technical emails.
Right.
And he was out for a week of training, and I covered the questions, but I always copy David, and we always collaborate before one of us hits send, so that they get that concierge service, and there's no doubt that they're getting the best that PMPA can give them.
And then Dave, tell them about the physical transfer of knowledge that required a box truck and a trip to Cleveland.
Well, I flew up to Cleveland, and then Miles had the front office totally full of books, and I had to come home with a pretty good size. I think it was a 16-foot box truck, and it was stacked around 6 foot high all the way back to the, I mean, we were literally shoving things in corners when I was closing the door. It's a lot of knowledge there.
Yeah. The other thing we did was there are some essential references, ASTM standards, SAE, AMS, there's some tools of the trade that if you don't know the trade, you don't know the tools. So I made sure that David has the tools he needs to be able to answer those questions, because if you don't have the standard, what are the criteria? How do you know?
Yeah.
You need to know. So
no, that's exactly right. And I think a lot of what Miles has done is teaching me how to use the resources. It's impossible for me to learn everything in the resources, but he's teaching me how to know where to look. When you get this problem, this is the series of books you want to go to. When you get this problem, this is the series. And that way I kind of got a general area. It's narrowed down my search function. So it's like my own mental Google. Miles is downloading his methodology, yeah, and then I can learn the stuff as I go.
Yeah, it's not quite a brain transplant, but those books were a lot of content.
Pretty, yeah, pretty close.
50 years worth of occupational experience in those books.
All right. So right now it all sounds like, you know, roses and smooth sailing, which it has been pretty smooth, but have you experienced any bumps?
How about it,
nothing.
David?
Nothing you're willing to admit on a podcast, huh?
It's been pretty smooth. I mean, Miles and I have been collaborating back and forth for many years. So back when I was a freshman in college, I don't know if he remembers this, I called PMPA and talked
about
to him
Swiss
on the phone.
You wanted,
I mean,
to know about Swiss.
20 years ago. So we've been kind of collaborating
in the making for
a
couple of decades.
Yeah, we've been working. I mean, PMPA literally is better together. It's better together. And you know, he's recalling. He was a Brown and Sharp guy. I had 1 week of Brown and Sharp setup school, and I sold tons of steel to Brown and Sharps. I don't know Brown and Sharps. He knew Brown and Sharps. He needed to move into Swiss. You know, they're not making teletype machines anymore. They're not making calculators, totalizer, you know. That stuff's gone, right? That silicon chip made that all go away. He needed to upgrade. He came to PMPA and, you know, grew his shop, grew his business, grew his technology. Now he's able to share and help our members because he's owned that transition himself.
So what I'm hearing is it's been smooth because there's been a lot of communication. Miles, you've made a conscious effort to bring him into the fold, to bring him into conversations, to share your books, which are precious. By the way, folks, that was no small thing. He's been looking for a good home for those books, and he found them. It's a real willingness that you don't want to take it with you. You know the value of sharing this with him.
Right. It really is about what is the best use for this. What is the best outcome? And the best outcome is that this knowledge continues to be nurtured and available to our members.
I think that's the key, is that in transitions, you got to have two willing parties, and Miles is definitely a willing party. He's not holding on. He's sharing everything with me, and he's actively, you know, coaching me and moving me in different directions and seeing where I fall behind. So when you say bumps in the road, there are things that I do that are missteps and fall behind, but he, you know, gently corrects me and moves me on in those directions. I think it's because it's a true collaboration, and I think that's the real benefit of everything. That's why there's not really any bumps in the road. It's like, oh man, I screwed that one up. Here, hold on, and then you know, and then you learn from that. So that, you know, that's just part of it.
Yeah, I think what has been important in being able to collaborate is, I don't see it as David or Miles. I don't see it as David versus Miles. I see it as David and Miles. And eventually, I'm not going to be able to hold my end of the canoe up, right? And David will take more and more of the canoe. So it's not, there's just no room for, I don't know.
Ego.
Jealousy or yeah. I mean, look, I don't know what David knows.
Right.
About machining. I mean, I do okay. But, you know, I'm not going to go and start pushing buttons. There's going to be an emergency service call. And David's never going to understand down to the, you know, some quantum level what I've, you know, washed out of my hair in the shower shoveling in the steel mill. That's just, you know, they're two different experiences. But together, we respect the experiences each other had. And it's, I think it's just turning out great for our members. And I'm really pleased to know that that material that I collected that is of high value, is of high utility, and of high utility for our members, it now has a safe repository and a guardian.
It's definitely guarded. Yeah, I think it was a unique thing, too, because Miles and I actually share a lot of interest, and surprisingly, when we did the personalities, we share a lot of personality traits. It's pretty amazing how much
that was frightening, actually.
Yeah. Oh, the Clifton strengths.
Clifton strengths.
Yeah.
4 out of 5 strengths are shared and in the same order.
In the same order.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
That was...
Sons to a different mother. Brothers to a different mother. That's crazy.
But yeah, I think that this also shows Miles' love for the organization, because he's doing everything to prop me up to be successful, not only just for me, but because he wants to see the continuation of PMPA. He wants to see this organization go for another 90 years.
That's exactly right.
I think it's a testament to both of you, actually, your dedication to the members and the organization. And, well, let's face it, you're both very much alike. I can hear you two collaborating, and it's really fun to hear that.
And you know what else is fun? It's fun to be able to share our knowledge. I mean, there's another mindset that says, I want to hold it back. I don't, you know, it's mine. Keep it close to the vest. And we happen to be in a great position where we can share our knowledge, we can share our content, and it raises the effectiveness of everybody in PMPA.
And that wraps up today's podcast on transitioning into a new role. Thank you for joining us.
For additional information, please visit pmpa.org, where you can find our knowledge centers filled with articles, webinars, more podcasts, and other resources for precision machining.
Yes, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss one. Plus, check out our Speaking of Suppliers podcast, where we talk to PMPA technical members and learn how they can help our shop.
And if you aren't already taking advantage of a PMPA membership, be sure to check out PMPA.org and learn how we can help you thrive. And why is a PMPA membership important, Miles and Dave?
Because we are better together.
Don't forget to join us next Monday on Speaking of Precision.